Tilehurst End Podcast.
By Reading fans, for Reading fans.
Hello everybody, welcome along to your latest Tilehurst End Podcast Extra. My name is Dan Wimbush. It is Tuesday the 25th of July 2023. Thank you very much indeed for taking the time to listen to this week's show. We've got Jimin Lee and Andy Preston, two esteemed local Reading journalists, to talk through all manner of things from Ruben Salles' start, the latest transfer rumours and our expectations for the season. So lots to look forward to in this week's show. A big thank you to our sponsors, ZCZ Films and footcoaching.com, our exclusive podcast extra sponsors, for their support. I'll have a little bit more after the main bulk of the show. So without further ado, here is our latest show with Andy and Jimin.
Get social with the boys.
Find them on Twitter
at The Tilehurst End
and facebook.com/The Tilehurst End.
Right, so welcome along to another Tilehurst End Podcast Extra. I'm delighted to be joined once again by Andy Preston and Jimin Lee. Gentlemen, good evening to you both. It has been, I can't believe it, it's been 6 weeks since we last got together on the Pod Extra. So much has happened. I was just saying off the air while we were chatting that it feels like, Jimin, that the club has gone absolutely full circle in those 6 weeks between everything's great, Chris Wilder's going to come in, to, oh no, the club is burning to the ground, right back round to, okay, well, we've got a new manager and we've signed some players now. After all that roller coaster, where are you sitting right now?
You know what? I think that it's been an absolutely exhausting few months to be following Reading Football Club, both as a fan and also covering it professionally. You know what? I think that there has been some form of stability that's been established at the club now, which wasn't there even maybe a few weeks ago. We've got a permanent manager. You know, these are things that are very basic to football clubs, but something that obviously Reading haven't had for quite a while. We've got a whole bunch of signings come through the door recently in the past couple of weeks, which has been a massive positive. And you can feel that around the club, there is a sort of sense that, you know, we're getting back on track, and that things look more positive heading into the new season. But I think that there's a certain amount of trepidation that must still be taken. You know, we're not the finished article yet. If the season were to start tomorrow, I don't think we're anywhere near where we need to be to have the kind of season that we'd want to have. So yeah, there's still a lot of work that needs to be done, but you're completely right. Since the last time we spoke, a lot has changed.
Andy, where are you at the moment? Are you a glass half full or a glass half empty looking at Reading right now?
I'd say starting to progress towards full. I think if you'd asked me 4 weeks ago, it probably would have been the complete opposite. Thankfully, a lot of things have changed since we last spoke. It's going to be a work in progress, like Jimin said. I think the season is coming around very quickly and probably too soon to expect too much. I was saying Reading probably did need another 3 or 4 weeks to work on things. You know, Salles has not been there for long at all. And, you know, you still probably need another 6 or 7 players. But, yeah, there's cause to be optimistic, I think.
Well, look, you mentioned 6 or 7 players. Let's start with the big one that everybody is keen to know during the transfer window about incomings. We've seen Lewis Wing, we've seen Charlie Savage, we've seen Harvey Nibbs and Sam Smith all come in the past week or so. But Jimin, where do we stand in terms of any new additions? We've seen lots of trialists involved. Who do you think is more likely to be pulling on a Reading shirt when the actual season starts? Either players that are currently at the club or other names that you've heard in the frame?
I think that one interesting name that I kind of want to talk about following the behind closed door game today against QPR is one that actually didn't play at all, and that was Olumide Shodipo. He didn't feature in the starting 11 nor on the bench. And I think that that's potentially a good sign. I think that there's a chance that the club have potentially seen enough from him in the games that he has played as a trialist to warrant him being offered a contract. And I think that from a personal point of view, I was quite impressed with his performance up at Sutton. And then obviously against Southampton, he came on and grabbed a goal. He's a player that obviously offers a lot of pace, and that's something that we don't necessarily have a lot of in the squad right now. You know, you look at the front guys like Andy Carroll, Kelvin E, even Sam Smith and Harvey Nibbs. These aren't, you know, they're not necessarily slow players, but they're not players who you automatically think of raw, blistering pace. And he could be a really useful asset to the club as well. Another name that I've heard kind of banded around, and one that I'm fairly confident will be a Reading player heading into the new season is Harley Dean. He's obviously had a really good track record with Birmingham and Brentford in terms of game time. He's been a mainstay at the heart of both of those defences. Over the past couple of years, he's not played as much, but I still think that at the age of 31, he still has a lot to offer. I think I'd consider him to be a top-end League One defender still, and I think that that's an area that we do need players, especially experienced players, in before we head into the season. We've conceded quite a few goals in pre-season without scoring too many, so I think that it's really important that we shore up the kind of back line. So those two names are ones that I'm fairly confident will be Reading players heading into the new season.
Andy, what about yourself? Any of the trialists that you've seen so far, you think they're leaning to club or be leaning towards signing? Or again, any other names from outside of the group that we've seen so far that you think might be making their way to the SCL?
I have to admit, other than Shadipa, I'm not sure there's any in the camp I'd be definitely that keen on signing. Rashesha has also started the last few, so I wouldn't be surprised to see him stick around. Jorkaeff has featured in the last two games. I'm not sure he's done quite enough to get a contract, and I think he's 26 as well, so it's not maybe on a younger scale they might be, you know, more optimistic to give a chance to. In terms of other names, there are some floating about. I still think central midfield is probably the biggest priority area. I'd still like to see another two, maybe three more midfielders come in. So, yeah, I think there are targets out there that the club are still trying to get.
Andy, one name that always pricks my ears up, Tom Rogic, who I swear has been linked with Reading every season for about a decade. Could this one actually finally happen, though, this summer? Or do you think that's this is more agent talk?
Yeah, I was having this conversation with my mates the other day about Rogic. And like you said, it seems he's been linked to Reading forever. So it feels like it's got to happen eventually. There were rumours on social media that he had been at Bearwood, but I believe that's not actually the case. He's actually out in Australia doing punditry work on the Women's World Cup. So whether he's looking to sort his future after that, I'm not sure. But yeah, I think at League One level, he'd be a fantastic addition if they could get him.
That'd be quite the commute to be sneaking in some training at Bearwood and then heading back to Australia. That'd be the kind of commitment. Perfect. You'd be looking for.
Can I just say one thing? I cannot believe that Andy has answered that question without bringing up Theo Walcott, because in the office, every single day, he's been talking about Theo Walcott and how that move's going to happen. So I'm surprised that he's not mentioned it there.
Well, go on. Mention it. Are you still confident? Because the trail does seem to have gone a little bit cold.
I wouldn't say I was confident. I think it's more wishful thinking. I would love to see Theo Walcott at Reading. I think at League One level, he'd be such an asset to have. Not just for his playing ability, but I think he's a fantastic guy. I think he'd really rub off on the young players and his positive attitude. He was training at Bearwood about a month ago, so I don't believe he's been there in the last few weeks. I'm not sure what the situation is at the moment, but Selez made it clear there is an offer there for him if he wants it. And, you know, he's got a good relationship with him. So I think there's a chance while he's not signed for another club, that there is hope that he might sign for Reading.
I'd absolutely love to see it as well. We did a podcast extra couple of weeks ago with a couple of Southampton guys who were raving about Theo and the stuff he's still got to offer. Shamin, I have to ask as well. There were again some murmurings, especially around the time that the off the pitch stuff was going on. Well, he's still going on. You know, we'll get into that a bit later. But what about any potential outgoings? Do you see any? Do you think this camp is now locked in as a group, or could you still see a player or two getting picked off?
I think that the players who are there at the moment are fairly, you know, nailed on. I think that all the players who are at Bearwood right now seem to be quite committed to the cause. If you're talking about players that were at Reading last year who might not be there this year, I think Junior Hoylett, who has been offered a contract, is one that probably won't be returning to Bearwood come the start of the season. It's looking increasingly likely. We spoke to Ruben on Monday last week, and he mentioned that only one of two players between Amadou and Junior had been at Bearwood, and obviously it's materialised that was indeed Mbenge, as we expected. I think that the players who are there will be there come the start of the season. I think Hoylett's one that probably won't be there come the first game of the 2023-24 season.
Speaking of scuttlebutt, the regress again, not to mention, I see Lucas Zhao's name just floating around, surprising on a number of levels, not least for the way he exited Reading in quite controversial fashion. But Andy, could you see any legs in this one, or is this again an agent trying to get his client's name in the frame?
Oh, I'd be absolutely shocked if he was around next year. I think, you know, like you said, the way he ended last season was really poor. Noel Hunt came out and was, you know, really angry with the way he didn't turn up to the last game at Huddersfield. Yeah, I mean, I don't think he's a player that'd be short of offers. He's got a lot of ability, and I don't think he would be too keen on playing in League One. But yeah, I expect his future would be sorted quite soon, but I don't see it being a Reading at all.
Do you mean any kind of a goer for you?
Lucas Zhao?
Yeah.
Yeah, not for me. I don't think that any of the parties would want him back. I think that Reading have brought in two really exciting young players in Harvey Nibbs and Sam Smith, who have that understanding. And I think that they're really committed. They've offered them long-term contracts, and why bring in someone who could get in the way of their potential development? So, yeah, no go for me.
It's good that you brought up Nibbs and Smith. You know, it's a combination. The club had some great fun on the social media front announcing their signings as well. But you've had the chance to see them now in a couple of friendlies as well. Do you see that as, you know, at least part of an attacking unit that can be challenging at the top of League One? Or, you know, to be on the slightly negative side, is this just perhaps the best Reading can get right now?
I mean, I think it's a really interesting one. Their output was fairly good in a team that didn't do so well in League One last year. So you'd imagine with slightly better creators behind them, they'll be able to score more and assist more this year. I mean, I think it's also important to remember that they're not our only options. You know, we've obviously got Andy Carroll still to come back. You know, we've got Aziz still in there. We've got Kelvin E. We've not really spoken about Jamari Clark, who we saw at Bearwood, incidentally, today, even though we've not spoken much about him kind of in pre-season. So, yeah, there are other options as well. But, you know, I've been impressed with both of them so far. We saw them score and combine against Southampton, which was good to see. With pre-season being kind of short and a bit curtailed, it's really important that players start, you know, developing understanding sooner rather than later. And they obviously have that kind of pre-established understanding between the two of them. So, yeah, I think that they're absolutely two players that could push on this year. It's, you know, they're not the finished product yet. So even if they haven't, you know, been hitting the heights of 20 goals a season in previous years, there's absolutely no reason why they can't, you know, push into double digits and deep into double digits this year.
Andy, let's move on then to the manager. I said the last time we recorded this, I think it was June the 6th, and we were all talking about Chris Wilder and what he might bring. And obviously, things have very dramatically moved on since then. We do know our new boss now. It's all in. It finally got over the line. The visa was approved and all of that jazz. So he's been in the dugout for a couple of games now. What have you made of Ruben Sellers so far? Are you more optimistic or slightly more pessimistic, having sort of been able to speak to the man and seen him in action?
I'd say I'm pretty optimistic about the whole appointment, really. I think tactically he's going to be quite an upgrade on what we've seen at Reading in the last few years. You know, he's a very intense character. We certainly saw that today with his mannerisms on the sideline. He's going to be very demanding. I think that's reflective of his tactical approach as well. It's very high energy, high pressing. He's talked about his high defensive line as well. And you know, that's going to take some time for the players to get used to. But I think he's very... very intense, and I think that will rub off on the players.
Jermaine, what about yourself? What have you made of Ruben Sellers' first couple of weeks on the job?
I mean, I think first and foremost, he comes across as a pretty nice guy, you know, a pretty personable guy. On the footballing side of things, I think he has a very clear idea of what he wants to do with the team this year. He set up in his 4-2-2-2 formation, which we saw at Southampton. And I think that we were talking about this today on the touchline, but regardless of who's on the pitch, it seems like he's pretty set on sticking to that shape. And that's exciting to see, because I think so much of last year was just going from defence to attack without really using the midfield. But with players who are really keen to get on the ball and to to receive the ball from the defence and to play through the transitions. I think that it's an exciting time, and I think that Salah's will be, he is an upgrade on what we've had in previous years. So I'm positive. I'm more positive than where I was at maybe a couple of weeks ago, for sure.
That is good. I mean, I've got to sit back. I've not been able to see, I didn't see the Southampton game. I've not been able to see any of the behind closed doors. But I think, and this kind of leads us into the discussion about things going on behind the scenes right now. It does seem to be, you know, the tide is, you know, rising up. I'm trying to think of a great euphemism right now, and it's just completely escaped me. But things are looking up, as far as I can tell, from the football club, because, as mentioned, when we recorded on June 6th, everything was seeming up, and then it all just kind of collapsed. We had, you know, we were suddenly under embargoes. We were appearing on the naughty step on the EFL's website. You know, the Sell Before We Die campaign was launched and got great support behind it, getting backing from MPs and things like that. And it all just seemed, as I said, the club almost felt like it was on fire. It was a really, really tough time to be a Reading fan. Time has passed. Things have moved on. As you mean, I think the key question that Reading fans want to know is there any tangible things that either on or off the record that you've been able to sort of ascertain so far to keep that feeling of optimism going? Or is it a case of we're still going to be looking over our shoulder?
I think it's, we won't know that until the next payday comes around. Because I think the one big thing is to make sure that wages are paid. I think that's the number one concern. I think that there are certain things which have gone on behind the scenes which give me a bit of optimism. Something that's kind of come up in the past couple of weeks is the kind of, hearing that the women's manager's position has been filled, for example. It's not something that's been announced officially, but it just shows that the club are, really set on making sure that they're doing things the right way and making sure that the mistakes that have happened in the past have been learned from. And that we're really set on the kind of long-term plan that we've set out, and that the, for example, the women's team set out at the end of last year, and that the, that you'd hope that the men's team would kind of go on in terms of long-term sustainability. I think that there is room to be positive right now in terms of where the club's at and not making the same mistakes in the future. But like I said, I think that it's really important to be wary and not to kind of count all our eggs right now, just because there's so much that could go wrong even from now until the start of the season. So yeah, it's very much a week on week, just take it as it comes sort of thing.
Yeah, Andy, it's the whole fool me once, shame on me. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. I can't even get my metaphors and euphemisms the right way around anymore, but I will persevere. But you know, the key question is the same really to you, Andy, is that do you feel more optimistic and more sort of confident of where the club is heading, or do you just think I'm still a little bit wary?
A bit of both, really. I think there's still definitely cause for concern, because we know Dyer's had problems getting his funds from China for a long time now, and that seems to be a reoccurring issue. I think reason to be confident, having people like Mark Bowen behind the scenes. I think he's doing a fantastic job in terms of recruitment and, you know, selling that vision to the players. And someone like Charlie Savage, a young player they've got in from Man United, you know, I'm sure there was plenty of interest in him, and to be able to sell, you know, the future direction they want to go in is so important. But yeah, there are still definitely questions over the owner, and it's something that will probably keep reoccurring over the season. We still don't know what possible punishment the club could get for missed payments from wages for last season. So it's still up in the air slightly.
Jermaine, are you expecting any kind of embargoes or points deductions?
I think the one that we've all like kind of spoken about amongst the journalists is that we're fairly certain, or not certain, but we suspect that it will be suspended if we do get some form of points deduction. In terms of the embargo, I believe that kind of now we're out of that situation. Obviously, there is still scope for us to go back into an embargo situation. But as of now, I believe that we are out of it with certain restrictions. Obviously, we can't spend money willy-nilly, and we can't spend money like we're in a candy shop. But I think that it's we're certainly in a better position in terms of restrictions as we were than we were before.
Yeah, Andy, I mean, based on sort of everything kind of you've seen on the pitch and off the pitch, I mean, what should our expectations be now for this season as Reading fans? If you was trying to, you know, say what, you know, trying to, you know, you're putting a little nice trailer together, a sales pitch to a Reading fan to come down for the season, would you be sort of saying to them, look, come along for the ride, this is the first step in a rebuild? Or would you be saying, look, the way things are going, this team could be easy to be challenging top six? Or should it be a, just if we can stay in the same division, everyone will be happy? Where, you know, are you top, middle or bottom?
You know, it's really difficult to judge still, I think. I still think they need another six or seven players to come in. But the direction is starting to go. I feel like they probably will be challenging towards the top half of the table. I think, you know, you look at the statement you make, bringing in a player like Lewis Wing, who's one of the best players in League One last season. You've got Charlie Savage, who I think impressed a lot of people at Forest Green. And to get a young player from Man United, I think it's a really big coup for the club. I think if they keep on that same trajectory and bring in some more positive signings, I think playoffs is a real ambition for the club.
Jermaine, what about yourself? Where do you kind of see this team once the, you know, once the season is fully underway? Do you think this is going to be a, you know, a top eight challenging, or is it again, is that top, a middle or a bottom?
You know, I think that these next few weeks are really important in determining where we will finish, just because like Andy said, we are really short in certain positions. And obviously, it's going to be a long, arduous season. The games will come thick and fast. And so depth will be really important. So making sure that we do have players and cover in the various positions is really important to our league position, our final league position. But yeah, I think all in all, so long as we get the business done before the transfer window closes, I do think that we will come in the top half. I think that we've brought in enough quality as it stands to kind of build around. We've got the sort of skeleton of a side that could do really well in League One this year. And yeah, I'm hopeful for a top half finish. I think if we really get our job, get our work done well in this transfer window, we could really push for top six. So yeah, I think anywhere between playoffs and kind of top half would be where I'd expect us to finish. I do realise that's quite a wide berth, but that is where I think we will finish.
No, it's absolutely understandable. You know, I'm still in that position of, well, I'm not sure. I think, again, you know, the results do speak for themselves. I mean, look, we can, you know, sugarcoat it as much as we like, saying it's a new manager, they've only got certain players, but Reading have been beaten four times in a row in pre-season and they've only scored in one of the games. And one of those goals came in the last minute against Southampton. So this is a team that right now is not massively competitive, but, you know, are they going to be by, you know, don't forget the transfer window is going to go on long after the season starts. So this could very much be a case of have to take our lumps early and then build into the season. Brian McDermott's side famously did the same. You know, the season we won the league the last time in 2011-12, I think we were 23rd at one stage, I think, after we got beat at home by Watford. And it was only after the likes of Gawkes and Lafondra, etc., got bedded in that things got better. So lots of ifs and buts, but look, I think the good thing is that we're in agreement that we're in a more optimistic space now on the 25th of July than I think if we'd been recording here on the 5th of July. So things continue to go upwards. But gents, anything else to bring up before we go, Andy?
I don't know. I was just going to ask what priority areas you two would highlight if you were Mark Bowen and looking at the squad, who are the players that you would like to bring in?
Well, I'll let Jermaine go first.
You know, I think that the area that we've been speaking about all summer is the central midfield berth. I think that as the season develops, especially with the way that Sellers wants to play with two kind of more defensive sitters and then two attacking midfielders, it's really important that we have depth in those roles. And so, yeah, I think that area is really important. We've been kind of linked with so many players that had all of them come in, we would be fine. But because not everyone's come in, we've had a few players, you know, be on trial and then get, and not be considered anymore. So yeah, it's been I don't think that we're quite there yet. I think a lot of people's concept squads going into this season involve either McIntyre or Hutchinson in midfield, which aren't kind of concrete solutions to that centre mid kind of problem, I guess.
Yeah, I think central midfield, again, I echo your sentiments exactly. You need that engine room. I mean, you look at the great running partnerships over the years, your Ledgerwood Carachans, your Sidwell and Harpers, even going back to, you know, your likes of having Mick Goodin, Phil Parkinson, Simon Osborne. You need that engine room, right? But I think the thing for me as a fan, I do want those players that are going to get me off my seat. I do want that Jimmy Kebbe, even Modu Barrow, Michael Jilks kind of flying winger, the kind of person I'm just going to, you know, you do that literal, you get off your seat. And we've just not really had that in recent season. I think since Barrow went, yes, those kind of players are more often predictable than not. I mean, we romanticize like Jimmy Kebbe and forget that he used to put half his crosses into behind the goal. But I just want that kind of excitement. I feel that watching Reading has been a pretty boring experience for a long time. And I am going to Reading games more out of habit and loyalty than being entertaining. Like, I don't find myself saying to friends, "Oh, come along to the Reading game this weekend," because I know if they do, they won't want to come back. So getting the likes of Nibs and Smith in has been a great start. Charlie Savage as well. If we can get someone like Theo Walcott in, who does have that excitement factor, it's amazing the amount of casual fans and friends, you know, as soon as Carroll signed for Reading, suddenly started paying attention. So maybe that kind of effect can be again. But yeah, definitely the engine room. I share the concerns as well about the central defence. It's, you know, we can't, again, sugarcoat the fact that there was a historically bad Championship defence 2 years in a row. And three out of the four of them are still there. So whether they progress and grow with a step back, I'm not sure, but it remains to be seen.
Yeah, I think the loan market is one to keep an eye on as well. You know, maybe that's something that will happen slightly later in the window when clubs, you know, have their kind of senior squad set and then decide what young players they might be willing to let go out on loan. Just on that as well, the goalkeeper situation I think is quite interesting. Whether Kanaya Boyce-Clark is going to sign an extension, it looks like he will. Hopefully he'll be around. But yeah, the number one position is certainly up for grabs. So it'll be interesting to see who gets that nod on the first day of the season.
Yeah, definitely need a reliable stopper in there. And I should say as well, of course, our best wishes to get Shaka Hislop. He's recovering after that scary moment on live TV. Glad to hear he's on the mend and doing well. An absolute Royals legend. So get well soon, Shaka. But Jamin, I mean, we have heard Joe Lumley's name pop back up. I mean, is Joe Lumley what we need?
You know, it's a weird one because he's one that definitely divides the fan base off of his performance last year. It's a debate that we have in the office from time to time. And I think both me and Andy think that Lumley would be a more than suitable goalkeeper in League One. You know, if he were there right now, I think he would be my number one. I do get fan sentiment in terms of the fact that his numbers aren't great. He conceded a lot of goals last year. And, you know, he's not great in terms of some of his, especially his mid-range shot saving. I noticed last year, any shot from outside the box or the edge of the box, he was really struggling with. So looking forward, I would like to see Kanaya start games if we're able to pin him down. Between Anderson and Buzanis, I'm kind of not really bothered between the two. I don't think there's that much difference between the two. So yeah, I'd certainly give Kanaya a chance at the very least.
And Jamin, any other talking points from yourself before we head off into the sunset?
Yeah, I just wanted to bring up the kit, to be honest, because I think that's also something that's kind of divided the fan base. I'd be interested to know what you think about it.
Look, I made a joke on Twitter. It was like Reading, you know, if you're looking for a blue and white hooped shirt, once again, you've been satisfied. Look, I can see why some people don't like it. I appreciate the effort. Do I think it's the most beautiful kit that's ever been designed? No. But I think it does the job. The colours look nice. I like a collar on my shirt, so that's a win from me. So yeah, I mean, I've reached that age where, I've just reached that point in my life where I own about a dozen Reading shirts. So I don't tend to buy them very often, so I don't think I'll be rushing out to the megastore to buy it. But again, look, I think people want to see the club connecting with the community and the town and making a real effort. And the one thing you can't say is, you know, they've tried. I kind of joke to my friends, it's kind of like when you're your kids bring home something that they've done in art, and it's like, it might not be the best thing that you've ever seen. It's not going to go up in a gallery, but, you know, they've really tried. So, you know, that's how I'm going to leave it. Andy?
I really like it. I think they've tried something different. It's really unique. Yeah, when I first saw the leaked image, I wasn't so sure. I thought the collar looked a bit, cheap. I just didn't look right. But I think now I've seen it in the flesh, I'm a big fan of it. I'd be interested to see the away kit as well, if it's the one that's been leaked, the grey one, what that will look like in the flesh. But yeah, I'm much more of a fan of this one than I was last season's one. I didn't mind the climate stripes. I think just the overall design wasn't fantastic. But yeah, I think they've done a good job with this one, personally.
Yeah, you got to think they're starting to run out of ideas for how to make blue and white hoops.
Exactly. There's only so many things you can do with blue and white hoops. So yeah, I think they've done a good job.
Excellent. Any final talking points again from you, Jamin?
I guess, yeah, we've given our predictions for yourself. What would your prediction be for where Reading will finish come the end of this season?
Look, as I said, I'm famously sitting on the fence here because I'm an unprofessional joke of a podcaster. That hasn't changed in a decade. My gut feeling is that it's going to be a kind of eighth, ninth place finish in an a la Brian McDermott's first season, or Alan Pardew's first season when he kind of took over from Tommy Burns. I've just got that kind of vibe that I think that we'll grow into the season. I think we'll get some good results along the way. But I just think of where we sit now, a couple of weeks from the start of the season, we're not there yet. And I think we're going to be coming up against a lot of teams that are set and are more, you know, savvy than we are. I just think that we'll grow into it. And it's just a case of how long it takes for players to buy into Ruben's methods and how well that translates at this level as well, because, you know, he's unproven as well. So look, I don't expect us to barnstorm the division. I've just got the eighth has just been ringing out in my head throughout most of the summer so far, so I'm going to stick to that. I think it'll be eighth, but as long as we push up into eighth as the season goes on, rather than have one of those seasons where we're contending, kind of like Paulo's first season, and then we just fall out of it, that will do me nicely. So yeah, I just want to see this positive momentum increase. Like, we've taken so many backward steps over the last decade that just to see, you know, Reading Football Club definitively moving forward again and providing some entertainment along the way, as I mentioned, getting some exciting players, getting those out of the seat moments. I can take losing games, but I just want to be able to, you know, go and enjoy it. You know, I bring my 5-year-old daughter along to games with me, and I want her to, you know, feel the excitement of games. And actually draw her away from her iPad, rather than it just being just going along for the hot dog, which, you know, is a noble cause and one I can absolutely get behind. But yeah, there's also some excitement and some progress, I think.
I think one thing that could be quite fun is if we do end up getting on a bit of a cup run in any of the cup competitions. I think if we are kind of destined for mid-table mediocrity in the league, I think, yeah, it could be fun to have a bit of a journey in one of the cup competitions. So that would be something that would definitely excite me.
Oh, we'll take Papa John's glory all day long. We don't mind how we get a cup. We don't mind at all. I mean, I include myself in this. I'm, what, 37 years old, and I've never seen Reading win a cup competition. I was 2 years old when we won the Simod Cup, which my dad still holds over me. So look, I want to go to Wembley and see us win. I've had enough of this going losing nonsense. So yeah, I don't care if it's Papa John's or whatever. I'll absolutely take it. You know, bring back the Anglo-Italian Cup, bring back anything, I'll take it. Just for a chance of not seeing the other half of Wembley or Cardiff or wherever it's we've been celebrating wildly will do me completely. But look, gents, let's get some plugs in for your work. Andy, where can people find you?
So you can find me on Twitter at AndyPreston96, and also in Reading Today and Wokingham Today.
Jamin, where can people find you?
Yeah, I'm on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, all JML Journo, and also obviously Reading Today, Wokingham Sport.
What about Threads? Come on, man. You made the jump?
Oh, I did try that. I did try that, but I think that's dead already, isn't it?
Is it? Oh, dear. No, I've not gone over either. So, yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Wimby, of course, file at the Tilehurst End across all socials, tilehurstend.co.uk. And, of course, the main edition of the Tilehurst End podcast, Ross and Ben doing some fantastic work. They've been pumping out the shows thick and fast. So please give us a like, give us that 5-star ratings wherever you subscribe to your podcast. And again, patreon.com/thetilehurstend if you want to go that extra step as well. And of course, a big thank you to our sponsors. I'll give a bigger plug to a little bit later on, ZCZ Films and to footcoaching.com. But gentlemen, thank you both very much for your time. Look, hopefully we can do this again soon. We'll try and get a show in a few weeks' time when the season started and get our early thoughts and a look ahead towards that famous transfer deadline day.
Yeah, thanks so much for having us. Been a pleasure.
Cheers, Wimby.
Excellent. Thank you, lads. Take care, and we'll speak to you again soon.
The Tilehurst End Podcast.
Read the blog
on thetilehurstend.com.
So a big thank you to Andy and Jermaine for their time. A big thank you to all of you for listening to this week's show. We'll return in a few weeks' time. I'm not still sure exactly what our schedule here on the podcast extra is going to be, but of course, as mentioned, Ross and Ben doing great stuff on the main show, so you can check them out. They are pumping shows out weekly at the moment, so just stay tuned to your feed. I'll be back, no doubt, whether it is with Jermaine and Andy or whether it is with another guest. I'm, you know, hopefully going to get some different voices on over the course of the season. I'm just not fully sure how often I'm going to be able to record, but it's been very nice to be back again. Thank you for all the positive feedback and all the kind words that people have shared on this show and on the main show as well. It means a lot. And of course, a massive thank you to our sponsors, ZCZ Films. They've been backing this podcast for a number of years, so a massive thank you to them. And of course, our latest sponsor, just for the podcast extra, that is footcoaching.com. If you want to get better at playing FIFA, or as it will soon be known, EAFC, it is a great time to learn. Head over to footcoaching.com. Lots of different packages and lots of tools and resources available to help take your game to the next level. You're sick at throwing a controller against the wall and having to rage into a pillow. These guys, trust me, can help. Footcoaching.com. You can use the code TTE to get an exclusive discount on any of the packages. And of course, just check them out on Twitter as well, at footcoaching. If you've got any questions, they will be happy to answer there. So in the meantime, only one thing left for me to say, and that is come on, you Arse.
The Tilehurst End Podcast.
By Reading fans, for Reading fans.